Hello and welcome to our service from the Church of the Epiphany for April the 7th, 2024. Flowers in the sanctuary today are to the glory of God and in loving memory of Kath, given by Glore. I call your attention to the announcements at the start of our service in the email. We've had a great garage and bacon hot dog sale on Saturday. Thanks to everyone. Remember our food cupboard. The Penny Social's coming up May 3rd. The Masons are coming May 5th. We're going to be having a very special welcome Sunday, May the 19th. And Jazz Vespers are going to be at St. James, May 26th in the afternoon with Stephen and friends. We're going to be having a fundraising dinner June the 8th. Jeremy Smith, July 28th. We have meat and veggie pies available for sale. $5 makes a great meal. You can contact Barb to arrange picking up some pies for yourself. Sandra has mint smoothies. Remember your canceled stamps, your rinsed empty drink containers. And I'll let you read the rest of the Adams play, The Slate Sisters, starring Kedra Ryan and friends, is April the 18th to the 29th. For tickets, call Adam. His phone number is there in the email. And it's going to be in the church hall. And if you wish, our regular or special weekly donations can be sent to our envelope secretary, Barb Smallman. Address and phone number are in the email. And the opening of our worship. Mighty God, in whom we know the power of redemption, you stand among us in the shadows of our time. As we move through every sorrow and trial of this life, uphold us with the knowledge of the final morning, when, in the glorious presence of your risen Son, we will share in his resurrection, redeemed and restored to the fullness of life, and forever freed to be your people. Amen. And a reading from John chapter 20. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark in the nails of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I'll not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of Christ. And now a sermon. A lot of us will remember that old TV show Dragnet. The main character, Sergeant Joe Friday, used to tell the folks, "Just the facts, please, just the facts." Seems Thomas was a little like Joe Friday. Thomas needed the facts and needed to see the signs and the wonders of Jesus with his own eyes. For centuries, Thomas had been labeled a doubter. But likely Thomas doesn't get a fair treatment in that label. Thomas was a practical person. If he couldn't see it, touch it, or feel it, he had a hard time believing it. But there was more to Thomas than just doubt. Thomas was a man of courage, commitment, faith. And there's a little bit of Thomas in all of us. Now, there are two kinds of doubt. We all have a little doubt in us as well, but there are two kinds of doubt. And there's a difference between doubt and unbelief. Doubt asks questions, while unbelief won't even listen to answers. Some of us may remember Dave Dravecki, former pitcher with the San Francisco Giants. At the peak of his career, 1991, he lost his pitching arm to cancer. It was bad enough to have cancer, let alone face the amputation of an arm, and on top of that, losing a promising career as a Major League Baseball player. Naturally, Dave was devastated. But his Lord was close, carrying him through somehow, and during his struggles, letters of encouragement poured in from all over the country. Most were letters of encouragement. They had seen him keep his faith and they wanted to know how he'd done it. But one letter he received read like this: "Dear Mr. Dravecki, if there was a God who cares so much about you, why do you allow you to have this trouble in the first place? I've lived 41 years on this old world, and I've yet to see any piece of genuine evidence that there's anything real about any of those religious beliefs you talk about." Well, that's a pretty cruel letter, isn't it? How would you have responded to it? Dave Dravecki sent a letter to the man. He said that he'd faced his own doubts and that faith was not always easy. He wrote, "I am convinced there's a God, that no matter what happens to us, there's a purpose for it. And behind that purpose stands a loving, caring God helping us through." Dravecki had come to know the Lord, who came back for Thomas, the same resurrected Jesus who stood before all the disciples and said, "Peace be with you, Thomas. Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." We all have doubts. Thomas, Dravecki, the letter writer, no one's exempt. What Jesus says is, you'll be blessed if in the midst of these doubts, you believe. The kind of doubt leads to deeper faith, a more meaningful life of service. You see, when push comes to shove, Thomas' faith helped him to believe because Thomas was a man of faith. Scripture doesn't say where Thomas was when the risen Christ first appeared. It just says he wasn't there. Then he found himself back with the disciples with their incredible story. Being a pragmatist, he wanted physical proof. A week later, he got it. Scripture doesn't tell whether or not Thomas actually touched Jesus. It does say that Jesus invited him to, but maybe he did not touch. He likely did not need to. Jesus' voice, the look in his eyes, and the forgiveness was enough for Thomas. He believed. That was when Jesus said, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." We need the faith Thomas had, the faith to believe in God even when the going gets not just rough, but darn tough. Like the hymn says, "You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart." Not only that, but we see the signs of the risen Christ's presence with us every day in life. Thomas had faith. He also had courage and commitment. It was his love for Jesus that filled him with courage. When Jesus started back to Judea to raise Lazarus from the dead, the other disciples warned Jesus that the Jews there were going to try and kill him again. Thomas says, "Then let us go and die with him." Thomas was brave. Thomas was loyal. Thomas was committed. He was ready to follow Jesus anywhere, even if it meant his own death. Thomas was always there. He was the person you could count on. There's another story about a man named Tommy. Now, Tommy tried and tried to go to church with his wife. Sophia, his wife, was the one who'd been brought up in the church. Her parents had been very devout Christian people. With Tommy's parents, it was completely different. Tommy promised he'd give church a try, and he did. There was just too much there that was unbelievable. Tommy tried talking to Sophia about it one Sunday after they'd been to church. "Can't we find some kind of compromise about this church thing?" Tommy asked. "You promised," she said. "You said you'd give it a try." "But I have tried," Tommy replied. "How long do I have to go on with this anyway? I've been to church with you just about every Sunday for this whole year since we got married. It's just too much about church and all that that I just can't believe." "Well, what can you believe about it?" Sophia asked. "Jesus," Tommy blurted out after a few moments of silence. "I like Jesus. Makes a lot of sense to me. There's some very good advice about life in his teachings. But to buy into Jesus, I've got to buy into too much other stuff, and it's just not helpful at all. In fact, it just confuses the issues. I don't need all this miracle business." At the end of their discussion, however, Tommy agreed to keep his promise and go with her on Sundays, a few more months anyway. One Sunday, the gospel reading caught Tommy up short. It was about Thomas. That was his name. Thomas had doubts, and so did he. He liked what Thomas had to say. "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I'll not believe." Tommy couldn't have put it better himself. "If only I could see his body," Tommy thought to himself. "If only I could touch his body." "That's the way we Thomas people are," he said. That's what he was thinking about when he and Sophia went up for communion. "If only I could see his body, like Thomas. If only I could touch his body." And then Tommy's musing was interrupted by the minister's words, words that jolted his consciousness, simple words. "This is the body of Christ given for you." It was his sign. It was his coincidence. His miracle. His God was a God who'd answered his questions, miraculously, answered his doubt. With that one personal, only for him, miracle, he believed. "Show me if only I could see Christ's body. This is the body of Christ, given for you." Well, there's a bit of Thomas the doubter in each of us. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe, and through believing you may have meaningful life in his name." And now our hymn.
No!
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now our prayers. O God, your Son remained with his disciples after his resurrection, teaching them to love all people as neighbors. As his disciples in this age, we offer our prayers on behalf of the universe, in which we are privileged to live, and our neighbors with whom we share it. And our prayers are asked this week for Linda, Christine, Bob, Dory, Garfield, Eunice, and Connie, Suzanne, Gloria, Belinda, Ross, Francis, Bill, and Jeff, Kenny, Jim, Norma, Dave, Peter, and Dan, Gord, Amy, Yvonne, Marion, Gus, Jay, Rick, Sharon, Ann, Marcel, Jeff, Mike, Scott, and Lisa, Wendy, Eric, Sarah Jane, Linda, Sharon, Philip, Jackie, Cam, Janice, Darren, and Roland. Open our hearts to your power moving around us and between us and within us, until your glory is revealed in our love of both friend and enemy, in communities transformed by justice and compassion, and in the healing of all that is broken. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. And a prayer based upon this week's scriptures. Light of the world, shine upon us and disperse the clouds of our selfishness, that we may reflect the power of the resurrection in our life together. Amen. And this is a blessing from the Book of Common Prayer. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us this week. And now our parting blessing song.
May God's blessings around.